You know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Oh, man, I need all the medicine I can get. You know, they always want to give you medicine. You know, they always want to prescribe medicine. But they never, you know, say, go do something joyful. Go do something happy. You know, go do something fun. Oh, my goodness. A merry heart. A merry heart in the, you know, joy and gladness in the inner man. Joy and gladness in the inner man, no matter what you're going through, in the midst of, that means in the midst of whatever you're going through, the inner man, in the midst of, there's a medicine, there's a joy that brings healing. And we're going to be talking about glad hearts this morning. Glad hearts this morning. It's the first Sunday in November. Whew, we made it. We made it to November. Thanksgiving. Hallelujah, my favorite holiday. You don't have to buy presents. You just show up at the table, you know. I mean, it's wonderful, you know. But my wife, she tries to make it about presents, you know, because she's such a giver. Her heart is so big. Oh, my goodness. So she tries to make everything about presents, everything. And I always tell her, honey, it's not Christmas. You know, this is not Christmas. But she loves giving. She's such a giver. And it brings joy to her. And that's, you know, October can be, how many know October can be a tough month? I have no idea why. Why is it so tough? Am I the only one? I only saw one hand, mine. You know, I mean, October can be really kind of weird. I don't know why, but November, here we are. We enter in, and God has it set up in this amazing way, okay, that we can be grateful. We can have a nation that gives thanks. Hallelujah, you know, and we move into Christmas, you know, and so our hearts are just all prepared for, you know, our soon coming King, and you know, we have this joy. We should be the happiest people on earth. Do you know that? We should just be the happiest people on earth. It says a merry heart does good like a medicine, but the broken spirit dries the bones. You know, you ever meet one of those Christians? Oh, you know, they just, the end is near. You know, I don't know what's going on, brother. You know, oh my goodness, I'm not going down that road. Okay, I'm too happy. I'm too joyful. I'm too glad to be here. You know, I was having breakfast with the Father this morning. I didn't intend to. You know, we tried to pull that thing again. You know how we pulled this thing? We're going to change time. Watch us change time. You know. We're in control. My body did not fall for it. Woo! I don't know if yours fell for it. You know, I went to sleep same time, you know, 4:30, bing, you know, there I was, you know, and I'm eating my cereal, you know, my organic cereal with organic strawberries. I'm on that kick for my health, you know. It's a medicine. Food's a medicine. And so I'm just sitting there. And God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit decided to join me for breakfast. You know what I mean? And God starts talking to me, you know, impressing upon me. I want to say that, okay? You know, I didn't hear the whoa audible voice of God. You know, I mean, it was just, he was impressing upon me that there's a lot of pain in the room. He said, there's a lot of pain in this room. And he says, there's a lot on the left side. He says, there's a lot of pain on the left side. And, you know, and it's hidden pain. I was writing that down. It was hidden pain. And there's scars. You know, there's scars. Scars that no one can see. Now, I ask everybody if they want to see my scar. You know what I mean? Because, ooh, you know, I mean, nobody wants to see it. Well, it's in a bad place, you know, it's right across here. And, but, you know, you're kind of like a little bit, you're proud of your scars because, you know, you went through something and you know that God brought you through. Something that just, wow, blew me away, you know. And there's a lot of people that have real scars and spiritual scars, emotional scars. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, and they're hidden. And we show up at church, you know, we sit in our seat and we look all nice and good and happy, and we should, you know, it's good decorum. And we've learned that, you know. And but God really wants to heal those deep wounds. He wants to heal deep wounds in our hearts. God wants to touch and heal. You know, in Isaiah 53, because I didn't have this down, did I, Ron? I didn't give you this scripture. Isaiah 53, he says, Jesus is the wounded healer. So if you have wounds, okay, you have pain, you have scars, you can be a healer. I mean, really, I mean, what when I went through, you know, my surgery and that whole thing, it gave me such compassion that was never there, such deep compassion. Whew. Oh my goodness. Oh, you know, for you know, I used to go in a hospital, you know, pop in, you know, lay hands on the sick and pop out in the parking lot, go, boy, I'm glad I'm not in that bed. Whew. But there I was in that bed, you know. So it deepened the compassion of my heart to bring healing. We can be wounded healers. We can be wounded healers. I mean, we can, you know, talk to people. We can pray for people. That's what we're supposed to be. It says he was wounded. He was wounded. Or we can say we were wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Well, that's good church talk. The chastisement. What does that mean? You know, the chastisement. It means the punishment fell on him that we could have shalom. And what does shalom mean? Welfare, protection, health, comfort. See, he took all of that on himself so that he could release it to us. So that it would be the punishment that brought us peace. He brought us peace. And, you know, I brought some of my anointing oil. Well, actually, it's just, what do they call it? They call it, you know, that oil, you know, they give you. Put on. Yeah, I'll be selling it in the back. this stuff is great, I'm telling you. You know, when you get sick, everybody wants to help you out, you know, and they want to rub this on, you know, rub this all over your body. You know what I mean? But it can be quite expensive. I don't know why anything good's always expensive. Why are organic strawberries more than regular strawberries? You know, why is that? I don't know, but here we were. And God showed me Tina, you know? Gotcha! and now, I know Tina, all right. And Rhonda, I know what time she was up, and she said, bring Tina and Don some honey. You know, Don is Doug's brother. And he said, so I knew they were coming, so I started thinking about them. You know, and I didn't know a little bit, you know, why their hair and their background, you know, so I started praying for them. You know, and he showed me praying for Tina. Tina, let me see your hand. Are you allergic to any of this stuff? Oh, okay. So he said that Tina, you're bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. You know, Tina's like tiny, you know, it's kind of sort of, but you're bigger on the, let's see if we can get a drop to come out here. I don't want to, oh, don't want to waste any. Stuff is precious. And he just said, you're bigger. You've got a big heart. You're a mother. You're big-hearted. You love children. It says, you're big enough to encapsulate the whole world. And I had to look up that word encapsulate. It means to contain, to enfold the whole world. I mean, that's how big this thing is, you know. And you save children. Generations, he just showed me, generations of children, doctors, lawyers, mothers, fathers. And you play tennis too, right? See, I'm not saying that prophetically. I know she plays tennis. You know, Old Testament prophecy, you know, they told the future. New Testament prophecy is just to encourage in what you already know what she's doing. Anybody can do this. You don't have to, you know, see into the future and make it all weird. You just want to bless her hand. That's all God wants to do. You know, I was picturing Don sitting next to you, okay, and you holding hands. That's the picture I had, you know. But he just wants to. Let's close your eyes. Why do we close our eyes? We close our eyes to block out the natural and enter into the spiritual. Just enter into the spiritual and just see God's joy and blessing and just his heart for you, that you could just go out and continue to bless those around you. So just rub that together in your hands and just smell the sweet smelling savor of the Lord. It's the same way with you, Pat. Give me your hand. The same way, all the pain, Pat, that you're going through, you know. I mean, I know what Pat's going through. I don't have to be a prophet. Pat and I talk, you know. I mean, it's not weird, folks. It's called being a brother and sister, you know. All that stuff that you're going through, God sees it. And he just wants to pour out on you a heart of compassion and love, you know, for those in that same situation. That's what he wants to do, Pat. He wants to make you a wounded healer. You know, I saw so many wounded healers here this morning. You know, Betty, oh man, she could show you her scars. Whew. Ooh. I mean, we're in some of the scars, we just, you know, haven't. Johnny, oh my gosh, Johnny, you got scars. Oh, Johnny, you got scars, but you know he wants you to be that wounded healer. Thanks for getting that for me. Let's just put some on you. See this? Oh man, you got rough hands. You need this oil. Woo! See, he just wants you to know, Johnny, everything you've gone through is just to pour out upon other people. Pour out on other people. Whew. Wounded healers. I mean, I could probably go around and pray for every single one of you to release that oil of gladness upon your life, that blessing upon your life. You know, and we all have scars, we all have wounds, but he wants to just bless us in such a way through this whole thing that we're going through. This church, it is an amazing church. All the things that this church has been through. Does anybody else, if there anybody else says, man, I just have wounds. I have wounds. Put your hand up just like this. Put your hand up. Oh, there you go. Woo, put your hand up. Oh, I want to just close your eyes. Just see God loving you. Just see God. I want you to see God smiling at you. And you're smiling back at God. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Special, just so special to him. Everyone is so here. The fragrance, what is this? Rosemary. Rosemary. See, he's provided everything for our healing, hasn't he? He's provided everything. Anybody else need prayer? If you need prayer, I'm going to have Ken, if you raise your hand just like this. You know, just like this. I see that hand. I see that hand. How many will give 1,000? $500. I see that hand. Go ahead. You've been in those services. Oh, so anyway, oh boy, a merry heart does good like a minister. Anybody else want prayer? Anybody? Come on. Oh my gosh, there. I keep it going. You know, I mean, go ahead. There's a lady in the back there. We see that hand. Woo. So I want you to, there's an eager hand. You know, Jesus never let people get in the way of the message. You know, he always ministered to people. You know, I mean, he loved people. He just loved people so much. Oh my goodness. Look in Song of Solomon, the Song of Love. Whew. I love the Song of Solomon. Oh, Song of Solomon. Where are we? Song of Solomon. Let's see. 1, verse 4, was that it? No, 4, verse 1. I had it backwards. Woo. So anyway, He brought me to the banqueting house. Yeah, I have to laugh at you. I think we'll all go to church today. What do you think? We're going to get in the car and go to church. God's drawing you to church. God's drawing you to himself. You didn't, God brought you, that word brought is, he carried you here in his loving arms. He picked you up. He picked you up and he carried you to the house of delight. Oh, I couldn't, I text, what's her name this morning? Rhonda. I text Rhonda this morning and I said, I can't wait to go to the church. I mean, it was 5:30, you know. My body knew what time it was. And I couldn't wait. You know, I was here for the prayer before and everything. And, I mean, it was just so exciting to this message of God's love and joy. And that's what makes glad hearts, see? That's why during these times when we're going through stuff, because, man, you don't know what's going to hit from week to week, do you? I mean, it just, oh, my goodness. Whew. Who could have saw what happened last week and the week before and what possibly come? But in the midst of things, whew, I have joy. I have happiness. I have gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. It's not about doom and gloom and all that kind of stuff. It's about gladness of heart. It says, he brought me to the, what, to the banqueting house called the house of wine, the house of joy. You know, over there, I think in the first chapter it says, your love is better than wine. Oh, I found that out. Ooh, hallelujah. Woo! I found that out and continue to drink that. You know what I mean? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Oh my goodness. His love is better than wine. When we can sit in a place and smile at God, no, he's smiling back at you. You know, gazing. I call it gazing. Gazing into the beauty realm of God. Oh my, that'll make your heart glad, folks. Oh, that'll make your heart glad in the midst of situations, in the midst of pain, in the midst of anguish, in the midst of all kinds of things that are going on, that are happening all around us. We can find that place. We can find that place. He said, he brought me to the banquet house and his banner over me. What is a banner? It's a flag. See? Now, we have an American flag, don't we? There's been a lot of talk about the American flag because people identify with the American flag and all the stuffs that, you know, happen and the honor and the glory and the sacrifice and all the stuff. The flag becomes our identity. Was Christians, his banner, the identity over you is love. That's what the flag that's waving over you. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. The flag that's, it's love, 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 love. It's your identity. You're a lover. I was called to be a lover, not a fighter. I was called to be a lover. He fulfilled that in my life. He fulfilled being a lover. I was not mad enough to be in a good fight. I'm telling you. You know who wins in a fight? The one who's mad. The one who's angry. I'm not mad. God's not mad. I'm not mad at anybody. He's not mad at anybody. Do you know that? Oh, my goodness. I can flow with anybody in Christian circles, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, you know, women in ministry, women not in ministry. I can flow with everything because there's a bottom line, love and forgiveness. You can talk all the theology you want and try to prove to me what this says and what that says, but the bottom line is love and forgiveness. Have we forgot that? I see Christians fighting and arguing over, you know, all kinds of different things on Facebook. It's so revealing. Facebook is totally revealing, you know, like nobody's listening. The pastor's not even watching, you know what I mean? But you see this fussing and fighting on Facebook over theological points. Where's the love and forgiveness? Where's the unity? We have one common love and forgiveness. It's the crux. It's the gospel 101, okay? Don't tell me about your theology and your interpretation. We can prove anything we want to prove. But I want to see love. I want to see love. I want to see love and forgiveness. Why? Because it makes us the happiest people on earth. It makes our hearts glad, really glad. You ever been in a fight with your wife? Whew. That, you know, that thing's over the house. You know, that spirit's all over the house, you know. We're not talking and, you know, no laughing. Oh my gosh, it's tough, isn't it? Oh, thank you, brother. This is what I'm a man of God. It's a sombrero. Ooh, how could you be mad at anybody in a sombrero? So, anybody getting healed yet? Ooh, glory to God. Where was I? The banner. Oh my goodness, yeah. And then what do you know? You got to ask forgiveness. I got to do this first, all right? You know? So you go and say, I'm sorry, honey. You know, I'm really sorry, you know? No, you're not. You're just saying that, you know? Oh my goodness, I guess I got to prove it. You know, I guess I got to prove it. So my daughter has a boyfriend, and when they get in a fight, he proves his love by ordering a pizza and sends it to the house. So she's still mad at him, so we eat the pizza. I'm not eating that pizza. You know. Oh, my goodness. Love, love, love. His banner over us. You know, all the flags. Everybody identifies in every nation with their flags. And that's great. That's wonderful. You know, but we have a banner. Christians have a banner. It's the banner of love. Are you still praying for people? Are people still getting touched? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. In the midst of me talking, oh, thank God. I'm going to take credit for it. So, it says, and it says, and his banner over me was love, and he sustained me. He sustained me with cakes and raisins, an abundance of provision in his love. Oh my goodness! Oh, that I have anybody ever felt that? Laying in a hospital bed. Has anybody ever felt that, you know, sitting in a courtroom? Has anybody ever felt that, you know, the favor and the love of God? You know, in a tight situation. Has anybody ever felt that? Because you know he loves you. You know he loves you. Whatever happens in the midst of everything, he loves you. You are his. His banner over you is love. His banner over, oh, we used to sing that song. His banner over me. His banner over you. Remember that? His banner. And then we used to run around with flags. His banner over you. His banner over me. His love, love, love. His banner. It was so much fun. And bring those banners back. You know, so It just was so exciting to know those kind of things where that was our identity. Our identity is love. God is love. God is here. We are love. And once we get those wounds taken care of and healed up, we can go out and pour out love. More love. More love. And you don't have to do it with, you know, my oil. You can do it anywhere. Just, you don't tell people. You know, I was telling a girl the other day, you can't call them girls though anymore. You can call them people. You got to be politically correct. You know what I mean? So I said, oh, you're amazing. Look how you're working. She was in the grocery store. I said, I never saw anybody work so well like you. You know? But I know she needed that, you know, because nobody appreciated all the stuff she was doing. I know they weren't, you know, but we can. Oh, yes, we can. If we're walking in the Spirit, we can see when somebody needs, you know, they're all wearing name tags. Hey, Susie, you know, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Oh, I found that out in the hospital. thanking people for what they're doing to you, calling them by name and thanking them for their professionalism and their love, their kindness. It makes their day. It just makes somebody's day. It changes the atmosphere in the place. He sustained me with an abundance. He sustained me with abundance. It's not my own self-effort. Trying to earn love is painful. Trying to learn love is awful. Anybody ever tried to, you know, earn love? I'm going to earn love. You know, and then nobody takes a notice. And you're trying so hard and you get discouraged and you get hurt. And you know, that's awful. You don't have to earn God's love. Do you know that? If you never did another thing for God, He'd still love you. Oh, yes. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Because we've been taught the performance way. Our culture is all performance orientated. You know, then we go to church and they pick it up. You know, all the performance, read through the Bible, you know, pray for hours, the whole thing. You know, I used to preach it all the time, get down. You know why the church isn't any good? Because people aren't praying enough. You know, we need to pray more. They need to read the Bible more. And, you know, they need to do this and need to help Jesus along. And God the Father doesn't know what He's doing, so you got to tell them. And, you know, no more. I'm too old. I'm growing in grace in the knowledge of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you grow. You grow in grace. Lower your expectation for one another and increase it in God. Increase it in God. That's how you love. That's how you love. So he's pouring out cakes and raisins. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. It says what? Refresh me with apples. You're the apple of God's eye, I'm telling you right now. Refresh me. We pray for revival and refreshing when it's happening all the time. I'm in the middle of revival personally. I'm in the middle of a reformation, a personal reformation of understanding the grace and the goodness of God. It's bigger than I ever could imagine. And it goes beyond what I could ever say. See, we say, well, I'm not going to put God in a box, and we build a bigger box. You know, He can't be contained in anybody's box, folks, okay? He's big. Big? That sounds so small, doesn't it? I mean, He's really big. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound good either. How big is He? You know, I mean, whew, beyond what we can even ask or think, you thinkers. Ask or think. I got this. I got this. I think I got this. Because I'm thinking, okay? You know, not me, but that's what the thinkers say. I'm a mystic, okay? I it's easier for us, you know? It's all, you know, I mean, it makes the theologians mad. You know, they want to, you know, they really want every jot and tittle. It says, refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. Whew. Over His love. My heart is just overwhelmed with His love. He brought me. When you understand that He brought you to this place, what? To pour out His love on you. Not His wrath. Not His judgment. Not His criticism. But His love. His love. Oh, His love. Keep pouring it out. Keep pouring it out on my brother. Keep pouring it out. More love. More love. Just more love. Whew. We got to get that, folks. We have to get that. More love. More. I'm so unlovely, though. That's what she said in Song of Solomon. I'm so unlovely. He says, no, you're beautiful. You're radiant. Oh, my goodness. You're radiant. Whew. Oh. You're radiant because you're reflecting His love. It's a reflection of what He is and what you already are. You're reflecting His love back and forth, back and forth. And it's growing stronger. He says, His left hand is under my head. Oh my gosh. I mean, I got to do this with a guy. You know, I mean, His left hand is just supporting you. All the time, His support is right there. you know, I mean, his support is right there for you. I felt it. I felt it so strong in the hospital. And I felt it like through men like Ken, who sent a scripture to me every day of encouragement and blessing. Oh, his left hand is just caressing me and loving me. Whew, I know we didn't have fathers like that, folks, but we got one now. We got one now. I didn't have a father like that. You know, I had a father that tried to sneak out of the house early so he wouldn't have to take me with him. Ooh, heal that, Lord. Heal that scar. His hand, his left hand. His left hand is under my head. He's the one that's supporting us. He's the one that's encouraging us. He's the one that's loving and blessing us. His right hand embraces me. See, we're in the divine embrace. We can't get out. You want to get out? You want to, you know, kind of wiggle out of daddy's arms, you know? Well, you know, hug your big sons now. You know what I mean? Just hug them. And they just kind of get uncomfortable, you know? That's why it's all right to hug people, you know? Hug people. Here, let me show you. The guys, you can hug like this. Love you, brother. I do love this guy. I mean, he's so big, you know? But the women, you got to hug like this. Maybe proper hugging, church hugging. You know what I mean? Woo! Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're locked in the divine embrace, and we can't get out. We just can't get out. A constant flow of his love, and it ruins us for counterfeit. It ruins us for religion. Oh, do's and don'ts and days and God is in have to's and should've's and would've's and could've's, and it ruins us. I'm done with that, folks. I am fully persuaded, finally, that nothing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. I want a fully persuaded church. If we had a fully persuaded church, we would be the joyous lovers we're supposed to be. But the church lives in shame and regret, and preachers come and berate them and tell them they're not doing this and they're not doing that and got to do more and should have done that. And you know, I'm just saying, you're doing a great job. There's some people that are praying so much, you never have to pray again. I've been in that crowd. They got it covered. I had to step away and say, hey, okay, you got it. I'm leaving. You know what I mean? Woo! God bless you guys. Keep it up. I'm tired. You know, he loved me. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, I don't have to do another thing. Finally, at 72 years old, I realized that. Woo! Oh, my goodness. I can what? Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Oh, it's such a... Don't, you know, some people don't enter into that rest. They never, their whole Christian experience, they don't enter into the rest. Because they always got someone berating them to do more. More, more, more. More. Oh, learn to say no and yes at the right times and the right places. His left hand is under. Love sick. So it's not self-sufficiency. You know, it's a mystical experience. I'm telling you, mystical experiences are okay. Close your eyes. Blot out the CNN and the Fox and all that other stuff and enter into that rest and say, God's got it. God's got it. Because I've learned, really, you're not going to change much, but he's going to change everything. He is going to change everything. Because he's bigger than you can even imagine. He's got this. It's a plan. We're going to end in Isaiah. Okay? That's the messianic prophet. messianic prophet, Isaiah 26. 26. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I got orders. I got orders. Woo. I'm so glad. Oh, I played that last week. It's by Cream. You know, that's when Ginger Baker played drums. I don't know what I'm talking about. People don't even know this, right? And, you know, I'm so glad. I'm glad. Whew. Oh, my goodness. Happy. Wow. Wow, if the world can show all this joy and all this happiness, you know, in the midst of things, we should more than them. We should out happy them, you know. We should out happy dance them, okay? Oh, glory to God. Where we are. Okay, it says in Isaiah 26:1, it says in that day, this is that day, folks. This is the day. This is the first day of the rest of your spiritual life, okay? And maybe before this you thought, God's so mad at me, you know, if I walk in a church, it's going to come down. You know, you ever heard that? You know what I mean? God brought you to church. God drew you to church because of his love. He drew you. He literally carried you in the door. You didn't even know it because you have no self-sufficiency. Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful. I remember the day he carried me in the door. Whew. Did I ever tell you about it? Most people know my day of salvation more than, you know, here. July 26, 1979. Wow. I was so hungover. Oh, my goodness. And God carried me in the door. Oh, whew. Oh, my gosh. Poured out his love on me. Changed my life forever. And in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah, in this land, in Cleveland, in Oak River Church. When you get a hold of this, that's the day that a glad heart sings. Because a glad heart sings. It doesn't complain, okay? It doesn't judge. It does not criticize. It sings. It sings of the love of the Father. We have a strong city. You're that city. When we're talking about cities, we're talking about people, and you're the people of God that are singing the praises of God, that are singing the joy of the Lord. You are that people. Yes, Cleveland is a strong city. I don't care what it looks like. In the spirit, it is a strong city. It is a strong city. God will appoint salvation for the walls and bulwarks. It's already done. Salvation is on hand. Salvation is here. It is finished. Open the gates. Whew. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the true may enter in. God remains faithful and true because our banner is love. Our banner is love. They can disrespect the American flag, you know, it bothers me. I was in the Army, I served in the Army, you know, it bothers me. But we have another banner, a higher purpose, a higher identity, okay, than just Americans. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me. I think I am already. It says, he will keep him in perfect peace. What? What? Whose mind is stayed on thee? Perfect peace. That's where God meant you. In perfect shalom. Perfect shalom. In perfect abundance. In perfect joy. In perfect health. He will keep you. We proclaim that over you right now. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you, I do. He will keep you in perfect health. Whose mind? You came here this morning and you have issues. I'm telling you what. When we stand, let's stand together right now, okay? Let's stand together right now and worship the Lord. Just worship him for all that he has done. He said he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Not all the mess around you. Not all the circumstances, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, or the rock of ages, Oh, he's proved himself to be the rock in all ages, and it's no different now. For in the rock of ages, the Lord is everlasting Amen. Strength.
Amen.
Woo. Wow. So I invite that, ask the team to come back and sing that song, because it seemed to really go so well with that point that we could sing that our God is a fortress. Amen? Amen. Woo!
I won't fear what tomorrow will bear. Let it come. Let it come. In your hands, you hold all my cares. Everyone, everyone, you can hold this gift for me. In the face of a thousand armies, you can hold this crown before me. Oh God. Tomorrow, let it come, let it come. In your hands, you hold all my cares. Everyone, everyone, yeah, you get over this ground before me. Of a thousand armies, you get all this ground before me, oh God. Oh, your Lord is a fortress. You are fearless. And you are fearless. Oh, I can stand up against us. You are fearless. You are fearless. Perfect love. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. In you, Jesus. In you, Jesus. I am victorious, I am fearless, I am victorious, I am fearless. Oh, your love is a fortress, and you are fearless, and you are fearless. Against us, you are fearless, in you I'm fearless. Oh, 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 oh. In you I'm fearless, in you I'm fearless. Yes, I am now.
Now, if you need prayer this morning, okay, we have a ministry team. If you're not healed already, we have a ministry team. If anybody in the ministry team is available and would like to come up here, You don't all have to come up. Anybody who's available. And if you need prayer, we just ask you to come up and get prayer. If you're facing something, come on up, ministry team. And if no one comes up, the ministry team can pray for one another. <You know? laughs> I think I have some oil left. Here's some oil. Is another one, Ken? That one? Somebody steal my oil? Don't leave the building. No, we would love, if you're facing something this week, we don't know what, you know, you could be up against. You know, maybe it's a, you know, whatever. Come on up and just get some prayer and let us encourage you. Okay? Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are so, oh, amazingly grateful for what you have done in this place this morning, Lord. We just thank you for it. And we just want to take it to the world. We just want to take it to the world. You know, we just thank you, Lord, that we've taken coats and things, practical things to the people. And it's just an open door in this hour to take the good news to those outside these doors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.